On this Sunday morning, churches throughout our nation, as well as our nation, are reeling from the events of this past week. The violence, the killing, the hate. All of those things have deeply affected all of us. Our hearts are deeply troubled as we see the division widening, animosity, lawlessness increasing. Our nation is being torn apart. There's so much anger, so much grief, so much brokenness. What can be done? How do we bring peace? How do we resolve these issues? Various people tell us that there's a need for a conversation. Bring the sides together to speak to one another about the issues. I believe that certainly is in order. People need to sit down at the table at all different levels and deal with racism, injustice. Need to deal with classism and violence. Deal with lawlessness. There needs to be a conversation, they say. And that's true. But I think there needs to be a conversation with God before there's a conversation with one another. A conversation with God. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be taking the lead in this conversation. May I suggest that this conversation begin with the church listening to what God has to say rather than telling Him to bless what they want to do. For God speaks to us. And there's power in God's Word to change. God can change the most violent person. The one that's filled with hatred. The murderer. The terrorist. A lot of times we have trouble believing that. But if we study the Scriptures, we will see the transforming power of God's Word. The transforming power of God's grace. And the church needs to be a witness to this and proclaim this in this day. What has God said to us? Well, this has already been prayed in Sunday school, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Do you really believe that? If we do what God says, we humble ourselves. Humbling ourselves means swallowing the pride, swallowing our opinions, our positions. It means repenting of our arrogance. If we humble ourselves, if we seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, God promises. He promises that He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins. And He will heal our land. So my first point here is we need a national conversation with God. God's people need to call upon Him. And need to listen to what He has to say. And do what He tells us. Church needs to follow the counsel of the prophet Jeremiah when he wrote to the exiles in Babylon, Jeremiah 29:7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For in the welfare of our nation the church will find its welfare. We need to pray. We need to be the salt. And the salt does what? It preserves, doesn't it? We need to be the light. What does the light do? It dispels the darkness. We humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. God will act. And if we don't do that, we can't expect that promise to be fulfilled. Because God is not going to continue. He's not going to bless us to continue to sin. As we've studied and been studying Hebrews 11, we learn about people and how they trusted in God for their salvation. And I want to make this point that the salvation sometimes has been squeezed down to it's something in the future, it's something spiritual, it's something that we will receive on the last day when Christ returns and when there's judgment. When our bodies are resurrected and we have glorious bodies and all of that and given our eternal reward, that's when our salvation will be complete. And that's what we limit our understanding of salvation to be. Spiritual. Future. But the Scriptures teach that salvation is present. Salvation deals with physical things, afflictions, enemies, turmoil, storms, conflicts, war. When Jesus came, He came preaching that the kingdom of God is here. And to prove what He was saying, He performed these great miracles. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He did those things to show that salvation is not just future and spiritual, it's present as God is doing work in His people and in those who are afflicted. So people are saved from affliction. They're healed. They're set free from oppression of demons. So when we talk about our nation being saved, God can save our nation from the turmoil that it's in when His people call upon Him. The problem is we lack the faith sometimes to call upon Him. We'd rather call upon somebody else and put our trust in human beings or in political parties or in various groups. They're going to save us when they're not. We see in David's life here that he understood salvation from his enemies. As a king, as a leader of Israel, we see from Psalm 3 that we read at the beginning of the service and Psalm 57 that we just read that he trusted in God for salvation for himself and for his people from enemies, from instruments who are controlled by the principalities and powers of darkness. David understood the spiritual battles that go on. David trusted in the Lord. And that's why in Hebrews, David is mentioned as one of the faith heroes that trusted in God in spite of all of the things that he had to face as a leader of God's people. So he is an example for us so that in the day that we're living in right now, which is quite dark and filled with tension, violence, hatred, and we have to trust in the Lord and we have to have conversations with God as to how am I responding to everything I see on TV? Or everything that I read, or everything that I hear. How am I responding? Am I trusting in God? Or am I trusting in something else? Am I depending on God to correct the evils? Or am I trusting in somebody else? And the point today of this message is trust in the Lord with all your heart, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Our nation needs to hear that. Our nation needs to understand there's salvation in no one else but in God, in Jesus Christ. David clearly trusts God. These Psalms that I read, 3 and 57, dealt with when he was coming under fire, when he was fleeing from Saul, Psalm 57. When he was fleeing from Absalom, his own son, he was calling out to God, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge." What are you taking refuge in right now, brothers and sisters? We need to take refuge in the Lord. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. You have to be pretty close, don't you, to be under the wings of God. That's what it means to seek Him. To humble ourselves. We're not going to handle this ourselves. We're going to seek Him. We're going to turn to Him. We're going to trust in Him. In the shadows of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down and amid fiery beasts. The children of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. That's how David is dealing with the tension and the strife that's going on in his day. And God preserves this in His Word for us to use in the times that we have right now, or in other times of storms, of tension, of divide. We see in 2 Samuel 22 that David has penned. It begins with David having a conversation with the Lord. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called. And from His temple, He heard my voice, and my cry came to His ears." So, church, what are we to do in a day such as this? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. You know, today we reversed a couple of things. The application of this sermon was Sunday school, when we took the time for corporate prayer, and there was the confession aspect that stood out. The things that the church needs to confess about what it's doing and what it's not doing, so it could be right with God, so it can petition God for His blessing and His work to be done. We also talked and prayed about the persecution of Christians throughout the world. So that's the application of this sermon. We are to cry out to God right now. Not cry out in the streets. Not cry out in the blogs. Not cry out on Facebook. We are to cry out to God. He is the only one that could save this nation. is the only one that can turn things around. He is a present reality for God's people. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. That's David saying these things. Now, why did God delight in David? In Acts 13:22, we read that God found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after His heart. God delighted in David because David delighted in God. He was after His heart. He had pursued it. But he took after God. The things that God liked, He liked. You know the idiom, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. The chip off the old block. Those are things that the child is like his parent or her parent. That's what David was here. As a child of God, he was like his Heavenly Father. No, he was not perfect. You know, we're so quick, well, he was an adulterer and he was a murderer, so that disqualifies. Wait a minute. Why, after all that, is he referred to in the New Testament as a man after God's heart? See, none of us are perfect. All of us are sinners. And yet when God does a work in our hearts and we come to Him and we're changed by Him and we delight in Him, He delights in us. We're His kids. And He watches out for us. He protects us. So I ask a question. Are you a man or a woman after God's heart? Am I? Or does my heart go after other things? Do I trust in other things more than God? Are my ways His ways? Do I enjoy being with God? Or do I count the minutes? Doing a Bible read through and you get to some of these chapters that are 51, 52 verses long or Psalm 119. And the first thing you do, I don't know if I have time to get through this because I got to get on to something. God, I don't have time for you because I got to do these other things. Are we men and women, boys and girls, after God's heart? Are we a chip off the block? David was. And that's why David had such faith in God. That when a problem came up, his first response was to look to God. Not to something else. He looked to God. Because he trusted God. And we know he trusted God because he wrote it down in his songs. He knew God and he trusted God. In Psalm 27, my favorite psalm, a psalm of David, he writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There's a lot of people that are afraid right now. They're afraid something bad is going to happen, that is going to continue to get worse, and that what's going to happen to our kids? What's going to happen to our grandkids? It's all falling apart. Wait a minute, does God hold all things together? Well, yeah, but there's no buts. What do we believe? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. And why is he so confident? Verse 4, the key. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on the level path. Because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Magnificent psalm, a testimony of David's heart. He had a heart after God's heart. A testimony of David's faith. This is the conversation we have to have with people. Where is your heart? Does your heart go after God, or is it going after other things? What do you trust in? What do you believe in? Jesus Christ or something else? That's our hope. So from our passages that we've read, yes, we need to have a conversation about the issues. But we first, as a church, have to have a conversation with God. God, how are we supposed to feel in days like this? How are we supposed to think? How are we supposed to speak? How are we supposed to act? Check us so that we're not part of the problem rather than part of the solution. This conversation with God must be such that we listen first and then talk to Him. Hear what He has to say. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. When you hear David's Psalms here, Psalm 3, Psalm 57, Psalm 27, and we can go on. The Holy Spirit takes that word and does something with it inside our hearts. He gives us hope. He gives us faith. He gives us strength. He gives us courage. He changes our perspective from being negative to being optimistic that in Christ, He will work us all out for good. Doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. Doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. But it does mean that God is good and He's going to get us through it, according to His perfect will, and will be glorified. And when we know that we're walking with the Lord, even though it's tough, and we know that in some day we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we will continue to go forward by faith in Jesus Christ. God makes promises that He will fulfill when His people do what He tells them to do. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of men. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the truth. There's so many misrepresentations. There's so many misinterpretations that are going on right now. We want the truth. And the truth, we have to go to God to get it. He is our hope. He is our Savior. There are no other Saviors. You see David's heart? How he's a man after God's heart? Do you see how a person's heart that is akin to God's heart will have faith in God? That's why David is in the faith heroes. That's why the preacher of Hebrews is telling his people, yeah, you're under fire. The government's against the early church. The society is against the early church. There's hostilities. There's violence. You've had your property confiscated. You've been ostracized. This we see in Hebrews 10. These things have happened to you. But be encouraged. God is with you. If your faith is waning, look to the Scriptures. Look to these individuals who didn't have it easy. They had it hard. And yet, God was faithful and got them through. That's how you address the problems of the day, through faith in Jesus Christ. Hillary Clinton said yesterday in a speech, there is something wrong with our nation. There is something deeply wrong with our nation. She was so right. There is something really wrong with our nation, and it's called sin. Now, nobody in the public arena will talk like that. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we know what is in the heart of people who are violent, of people who are lawless, of people who are racist. We know what's in the heart. It is sin. Sin. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Out of the heart. That's why there is no salvation from anyone else, because nobody else can change the heart. And you can't change your own heart. God must do that. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? How can we change a person's heart when we don't even understand what's in the heart? That's where we have to trust in God. Only God can bring about change that removes hatred, violence, and prejudice. And a great example of that is the Apostle Paul, a Jewish terrorist who made it his vocation to go and to hunt down Christians, arrest them, and have them destroyed. He was an up-and-comer. He had a great reputation. He had zeal for God. He was on his way to Damascus to get more Christians. And he met somebody along the way. knocked him off his high horse, humbled him, made him blind, and changed his heart. And this man went on to be one of the greatest, greatest apostles, greatest ambassador for Jesus Christ. Does God change hearts? Has He changed your heart? See, we know from the Scriptures, but we also know from the witness of the Holy Spirit within us, who has changed our hearts, that God can change the hardest heart, the most hate-filled heart, the most violent heart. He can change hearts, and He will, and He does. That's our hope. Nothing else can change your heart. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to evil. Yeah, we have deep problems in our nation. But we have a great God. We have a God that can fix this. We have a God that can change the hearts. We have a God that can change our hearts as we're getting embroiled in all of this and taking sides and looking to this person or looking to that person, condemning that person or this group. We got to look to God. God is our salvation right now. The truth that He gives us is the truth that will set us free and set our nation free. He's calling upon His church to be the church right now. Be the salt and the light to show people another way. His way. We've got to focus on the cross of Christ at this time and get ourselves right with Him. And we got to tell the world about the cross of Jesus Christ so that they can get right with God and be empowered to be right with one another. That's our mission. That's why we're existing at this time in history. That's our purpose. How will you make a difference in our land at this time? How will you shine your light? How will you be the salt? Step back and say, do I have a heart after God? Lord, give me Your heart. Change my heart, O Lord. Change my will. Change my whole perspective. May I live through all of this to glorify You, no matter what it costs. May I be an instrument of reconciliation. May I be one who will lead people out of the darkness into the light, who will take a sinner from the depths of hell and bring him to the throne of grace. That's our task. M&Ms, that's your task this week and next week. That's your call for this hour in your life. Reach out to people in your generation and tell them the truth about life and death and about all the issues. The truth is about Jesus Christ. Don't ever compromise on that, because there's no hope anywhere else. But with Jesus, there's always hope. Always hope. If you're having problems with feelings and thoughts, and pray to God for help. Have a conversation with God today and ask Him to make your heart after His heart. Ask Him to create in you a new heart, to change your heart. Let us pray.